Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everyone. Hello, and welcome to the Uncertain Futures betting show here on Sports Grid. Also, there's a chance you would be listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast Network as well. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by my buddy Michael Leone, and we are here to talk about futures betting for the NFL playoffs. Maybe a little bit of a college football chat later on because I have an idea on that stuff as well. But we also want to do a little bit of year-end review, looking at some of the props we had this year that hit, and also we just want to chat with you guys. So, Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Looking forward. This is like the pilot experiment episode of this show. The idea is that Davis and I will go through bets on future events, so futures type bets, not just the picks against the spread for the week and whatnot. And you know, each week we'll update sort of where we sit, things that went well, went poorly. You know, maybe we'll have some hedging opportunities and maybe not. So we'll go over all that stuff, you know, whether it's season-long win props, MVPs for individuals, things like that. Or in the case of this show, we're mostly going to focus on the Super Bowl odds for everybody and who to bet prior to the playoffs beginning.
Yeah, so we, of course, at Sports Grid, we have, some guys who do, data science, predictive analytics, and modeling, and our buddy Arturo Galletti, who you guys are probably familiar with for if you subscribe to Roto Experts or if you subscribe to Daily Roto. Arturo is, of course, one of the minds behind our projection systems and the optimizer, really, for NBA, NFL, PGA, and others. And also, we've used Arturo's modeling on Roto Experts in the past. And that's where I wanted to start, Michael, is looking at some of our season-long props. I definitely had a good year on season-long props, but I got to come clean, though. My gold star, my five-star lock of the year pick, it did not hit. And not only did it not hit, it failed in the most resounding way possible. What do you think, knowing me, my favorite pick would have been that would have just absolutely gotten crushed?
So as far as a future before the season?
It was a future based on leading or not leading in a category. It was one
like
player.
Damian Williams, you had to have like leading in touchdowns or something like that.
So no, it was Derrick Henry under 1,201 rushing yards. So he didn't quite get there. In fact, he actually led the NFL in rushing yards. So that one did not hit. But you know which one did hit and hit at quite good odds. Jameis Winston to lead the NFL in passing yardage, and that one was not even a sweat. He basically had that one locked up.
Yeah, it was a sweat for a little bit. Him and Dak for a while were pretty neck and neck, but they were like 400 yards above everyone else. But going into this final week, Dak having those shoulder issues the last couple of weeks, he pulled away. I hit on that one as well. The one that I had live for a little bit was Christian McCaffrey as leading rusher, but Chubb was ahead of him the last few weeks, and then Derrick Henry just kept going ham, and he eventually took that down. I was really kicking myself. I didn't have any Lamar Jackson MVP bets out there. I feel like a big, fat,
stupid fraud for not betting Lamar for MVP. Like, so bad. People can mock me for a lot of things, but that's a big one.
The Jameis bet was pretty good odds, so that covered everything. I ended up plus with just hitting that bet. But I like Kyler Murray, James. I had some long shot quarterback bets. I can't believe I didn't have Lamar in there because gobbled up a bunch of his sports cards to flip prior to the season. But you hit on some Lamar props, at least, even though it wasn't the MVP odds.
Well, yeah. So I had the over on his rushing yardage prop, which I think was 680. I'd have to go back and look. But the one I remember that I hit was because I think it actually hit in week three of the NFL season. But his passing touchdown total was 15.5 passing touchdowns. Now that, of course, was not available at every book, and it got bet up after it was released. But I think the instructive example here is that these lines for young players end up looking very stupid at the end of the year, one way or the other, because the sample on them is so limited. So if you have a read one way or the other on second or third year players, I think those are props to like really hit. Whereas like, I think there's a lot less room with like Tom Brady props. I'm not betting guys who like have these ginormous samples. So I think that's something pretty instructive. And also probably don't fade Derrick Henry. That's also maybe something else that I learned.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to juice these things pretty good. So it's hard to get a good line on a favorite. So most of what you're betting, I mean, maybe Kyler Murray for offensive rookie of the year there for a while was like an okay line. But when you factor in injury and stuff and whatnot, and that you're tying up your money for a while, I think most of the EV is finding, like you said, a younger player that hasn't broken out yet that you can get longer shot odds on. So looking forward to next season, betting a lot more of those. I think it was a lot of fun. And you know what, Davis, I made playoffs in my seasonal fantasy league 6 of 8 and didn't make a single championship game. So that was pretty disappointing. So I'm looking forward to just betting some of the money
hitting my PayPal on Sunday night after week 16 was pretty good. Winning the pentathlon league with Sammy Reed. That was a very nice win. A couple pools I was in played out. Week 16, generally, if you're good at season long fantasy football stuff, week 16 is like a very nice week. And Leone, I mean, you know, a couple leagues that you and I are in together, Drew and I wearing the belt in 2 of 4 leagues, I think, that we're in together. Drew and I wearing the belt, including you losing.
And you knocked me out in 2 of 4 leagues as well. Even one of the – so 3 of 4 leagues is just misery. And one was my dynasty team that led the league in points, one regular season.
Your best team ever, I think.
Came in 4th place, 0 prize money because nothing was paid out for points or whatnot. But let's jump into the Super Bowl odds. I've got up on the screen our Sims from Arturo from Sports Grid, who runs these. And you can see there's a couple of bets right away. He's got the Saints and Baltimore, but we'll walk through these a bit more. I think Baltimore sticks out right away as like 43% to win, which is pretty crazy. So you can get them around plus 225, I think is the current Vegas money line. I've seen, I think I got plus 250 somewhere. And I was worried Arturo Sims were too optimistic, but if you look at Football Outsiders, they have Baltimore at 44%. So basically the same thing, even a touch higher. So kind of crazy, Davis, but that's just how good Baltimore has been as an all-around team this year. And they play with such an advantage having a coach and a system that actually goes for it on fourth downs. Like with Lamar, they're basically playing with an extra player on offense. And with Harbaugh and the decision-making, they're basically playing with an extra down. So a lot of edge for them every game they play.
So would you actually bet this though at plus two? Like even though Arturo's stuff says it's bettable stuff, that's like, maybe this is loser mentality. I don't know. That's why we're doing the show. Cause I'd like to think about it, but stuff that is, it's like the same reason I didn't bet on Mahomes to win MVP at the beginning of the year, despite me thinking that without injury, he really was a lock. Obviously, I didn't see the Lamar Jackson stuff coming, but like stuff that you're going to have to hold for a month or more, I'm probably just not betting that at 2 to 1, right? Because I'd rather be betting because you know, it's like I'm not depositing on these sports books. I'm rolling on money I deposited when I was like literally like 19 years old. I'm never putting more money in there. So I would rather just, you know, be betting like against the spreads in all these games, as opposed to locking up, you know, 5 units on the Ravens at 2.5 to 1.
I think that's fair. But when you look at it, and he's got them as a bet at basically plus 135, 140, which,
yeah,
even if, let's say you think that's off, somewhere between the real line and his line is the correct bet, like plus 175, plus 180. That's a lot of EV right there. So I think, you know, that's something that I did bet it before the show, actually. So I'm not a fraud out here. So I did bet it.
Well,
I
do know you also sports bet a little bit differently than me, though. Like you bet player props like in or games like every weekend?
Not as often as you, no.
Yeah, so like I'm pretty much every day I'll be making at least like one bet. Now I'm not Jimmy the Greek. I'm not saying I'm just like churning over here or anything like that, but like I just like to have action. Like I bet this Western Kentucky, Western Michigan game just because like it was on and I need it, you know, you just want to have something to sweat. So that is a definitely like where you just approach it a little bit differently.
Yeah. I mean, most of the bets I'll make will probably be longer odds than that, but because the EV looks so strong, I'll probably take it. If you wanted a longer shot bet, I think, you know, some people were betting KC at plus 750, plus 800 a couple of weeks ago.
That was good. That was because their odds basically got halved with that Miami win over New England.
If you bet them at plus 800 or plus 750, they are now at like plus 400. So yeah, halved. I still can't believe Fitzmagic did it and brought down New England in New England in the game that they actually had to win. That was pretty wild. He's low key had a super good season. I saw he finished eighth in QBR, which is wild given, you know, the context around him. Like they played a tough schedule. They weren't really trying that hard to win. They got rid of a lot of players. To still have the quarterback season he had was really impressive.
I mean, that game, if in fact the Chiefs go on to win the Super Bowl and the Patriots lose and either they lose to the Titans or, you know, if Julian Edelman gets hurt or if Gilmore gets hurt or something like that in that game against the Titans, like how mad are they the Patriots going to be at themselves for losing that game to the Dolphins?
It's a wasted opportunity. I shouldn't say low key because pretty high key. I'm always rooting against the Patriots, but only one team has made it to Super Bowl 4 years in a row, Davis, and the Patriots could become the second team this year. So I'm pretty pumped that the path for them is a lot harder. And I mean, it's a lot easier to make Super Bowl when you have the bye and home field advantage basically every year. So it'll be interesting to see them with a tougher track. I thought it was interesting. So our odds, so I'll bring up a different view if you're looking that looks at if each team played the other team, what their odds of winning would be. And the Patriots against the Titans round one, 75%. So I was surprised Arturo's model had that. I was surprised to see Football Outsiders had New England as third in total DVOA. I think I looked at that correctly because the concept, or I shouldn't say the concept, but the thought around them, the vibe is that they're basically a fraud team and they're dusty is what you told me prior to this and have no chance. But
I'll say this, they're not because they are so well coached. But it does just feel like they're dusty. Like when you watch them play, it never feels like they're in control. It never feels like it's easy for them to do anything. Like every time they score, like I would say the only two like explosive players on the team are really James White and N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, I mean, I think as I was watching that Week 17 game, I was thinking we're probably going to see N'Keal Harry's role expand quite a bit.
Yeah,
likely see a lot of James White just because situationally I think they have to. Generally we see that in the playoffs with them as they become more pass heavy. But I was surprised with as good as Tennessee's played since Tannehill took over to see New England as like a much bigger favorite, because when I saw 4.5, 5, or when I saw the line at like 5, I think it came down to 4.5. It seemed like earlier in the week, Tennessee might be a good bet. Now I'm sort of, as I'm looking at the data, thinking New England's a good bet for this week only. It doesn't look like there's any value in their futures because I think the public hype around New England. So when I say they feel dusty, that's more like our circles versus the general public circles that just always seems to think New England's going to come through because they generally do.
I mean, there's definitely no way that the public would ever let this be just a standard 3-point game, like 3-seed versus 6-seed 3-point game. Yeah. Like it would never happen, right? Like the Patriots are always going to get a point of respect from the market. I will say though, when this line came out, I was like, I'm going to bet the Titans, the Patriots are dusty. No, the Patriots are going to win this game and then they're going to lose against like an actual good team. Cause I still don't think the Titans are any good.
So the absolute fraud team, though, I think we agree on this, is Green Bay, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, I think Football Outsiders had them as one of the worst 13-3 teams in DVOA history. They're 10th in DVOA. We've got them as dogs to even win a game here as favorites in round two. Part of that's because Model loves the Saints. So we talked about Ravens as a plus EV bet. The other one that spits out as plus EV in Arturo's model is the Saints at plus 500-ish. If you can get them. He's got them as a bet at anything at plus 450 or higher. I could only get 450 what I was looking at. I did take it at that number. And man, an inch away from having what, the one seed? Would they have been the one seed if Seattle won that game last night?
I believe that is correct. Yeah. I'm not. Wild. I think I just know they would have gotten the bye. I don't
they
know
at
if
least
they would have been
the
one seed.
Yeah.
So I was talking about this on Sunday night with Sammy Reed and Nate Noling when we did the Gilcast, and we were just looking at the odds, and we sort of agreed that the bets really are just in, they would all be in the NFC. It would just be better to bet the NFC because the AFC has, what I think are the two best teams, which are the Ravens and the Chiefs. And then you just always have the unknown of the Patriots, just like the Patriots. Well, we might think that they are, we might think that they are dusty. We've thought that forever and it hasn't mattered.
Plus in the NFC, you know, even though Vegas has Green Bay with somewhat long odds for a team that has the bye and as the two seed home in round two, we really think they're frauds. So that's soaking up some of the win expectation from coming out of that conference for Vegas, which, you know, opens up the door for some other teams like the Saints to be positive
values.
I mean,
it's wild that Green Bay got the bye and they are 12-1 versus the Saints at 5-1. Like that is a crazy divergence, basically. Like that is that is the market telling you that that the Packers are pretty fraudulent.
That's one of those ones where if you can bet with your friends, you could probably get a super favorable line, not realizing.
Or if you have Packers buddies, that's the way to do it. Yeah.
I mean, so yeah, plus 1200, that's pretty nuts with the bye. The other teams with a bye, Baltimore plus 225, KC plus 400, San Francisco plus 350. They're nowhere near those teams. So there's not really any long shot teams that I like. Like if you went for a long shot team,
it would be the Seahawks, right? 30-1. That would be the team you'd bet.
You think?
Because
so?
you would just say against the 49ers, the Seattle beat the 49ers once. And the 49ers crushed the Green Bay Packers when they played. And so you could kind of do – but really all you'd be telling yourself is Russell Wilson has the ability to get hot over a four-game stretch in the way that none of these – like Kirk Cousins not going to get hot over four games. Carson Wentz I don't think is going to get hot over four games. And could the Seattle go into New Orleans and win a playoff game? I mean, they're going to be big underdogs. They're going to be 6-point underdogs in that game. But it crazier things have happened in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, and the path's just a little bit easier on them. Like Minnesota might be a better team overall or close, but one, you don't have the upside in Cousins that you do for Russ. And two, the path. Like Minnesota's at New Orleans right away. Whereas Seattle faces a Philly team that's banged up and not that great. Like that game's pretty close to a toss up. If it wasn't for them being on the road, they'd probably be favored in that game. And then round two, like you said, they just came an inch away from beating San Francisco. So it's the rematch there. And then if you make it to the conference championship game at that point, you know, you're looking good with the odds that you got them on. And then you just hope to run pure one more time against New Orleans.
Something that is very interesting, I think, in how these things could change would be if the Vikings beat the Saints, all of this gets blown up, right? Like the odds in the NFC, all of this, and even the AFC odds in terms of to win gets blown up. Because I think that, you know, the fact that the Saints have to play an extra game and they're 5-1, the 49ers get a bye and they're 3.5-1. I think that's the market telling us that that the Saints are better than the 49ers by their estimation. So if the Saints, I mean, and we're talking about for sure. This is a pick six and Breeze gets injured and whatever. But the Vikings winning that game against the Saints would really blow this market up, basically.
Yeah, as you mentioned that, though, with the Saints having pretty good odds to come out of the NFC, like that's got to favor the AFC Super Bowl winner too, right? Because if the Saints make it, they've played an extra game.
They played an extra game.
And that's got to help the AFC side of things. So some years I feel like there's a long shot that I like. I remember Green Bay, this was way back, but there was one year where they went like 10-6, but all six, they were never trailing by more than a touchdown the entire year. That was the year they ended up winning as the wild card over the Pittsburgh Steelers. I like crushed them that year, loved them. The wild card teams, I don't know. I think this is going to play out somewhat chalky. So I don't really like anybody outside the Saints looking at this a little bit closer. I see where you're coming from on Seattle, but their coach is too dusty. They don't play the right way. You know, they just get bailed out by Russ. As hot as Russ can get, I don't think he can bail out that coaching staff and that overall macro strategy for 4 weeks.
Hey, they went for it on fourth and short on Sunday night, though. Didn't you see?
Yeah, they went for it, and the Niners were literally putting guys not only did they know they were just going to run up the middle with Lynch, but they knew exactly where they were going to run. It was insane. They were pointing to the gap prior to the snap.
Do you think there is a more harmful signing for the Seahawks winning a playoff game than Marshawn Lynch? I can't think of one player that would be a worse add to their roster for how that coaching staff wants to call games than Marshawn Lynch.
Because if they didn't have Lynch, they might be forced to just play Homer, and he was fine pass catching out of the backfield. If you get them past, like if they were going to play proper strategy and like throw more with Russ and let him go nuts, I think I'd be much more into this long shot bet, but Pete Carroll's not going to do it. And as you said, like, going to give it to Lynch is they just love to play that old school way. It's just not the right way.
Yeah. What do you think the line would be in the Baltimore Kansas City game? What do you think that potential line would be? Cause it would be in Baltimore, I guess.
So let me look up. Cause I believe
they played already.
With Arturo Sims is that he's got what the lines would be in certain games. So which matchup are you saying?
So Baltimore, Kansas City, and the AFC Conference Championship game, which they already played out once this year in Arrowhead. It was Chiefs 33, Ravens 28 was the final score of that game.
I can bring that up on the screen. If you look on the right side, it's got what the projected lines would be by the home team. And who they would play. So Baltimore home team versus KC, he's got his -3.5 or -3.3.
So I guess that would maybe make you think that Chiefs +180 to win the conference. If you just think, like, if you are of the opinion that the Patriots, the Texans, the Titans, the Bills, these are completely non-threatening teams. I know Leone probably doesn't think that or doesn't want to admit that, but the Chiefs +180 right now to win the conference might be okay.
Yeah, and I didn't expand this. I don't know. I don't know if there's a lot of value in the Chiefs +180.
There probably is not.
Because New England, like if you think New England's actually good, which you don't. So I think that's a big discrepancy. You don't think they're good. I think they're good. That's two tough games. Even though you're home versus New England, then at Baltimore, I don't know.
Have the Patriots given a tough game to anyone good all year? I'm actually asking. I guess the Bills. That's it. That is the only team that's in the playoffs that they gave a tough game to.
Did you just call the Bills good?
I mean, they made the playoffs. But they lost They were down the whole game to the Chiefs. They were down the whole game to the Texans. The Ravens ran them out of the building. I guess the Cowboys were the only.
I mean, the KC game was close. I mean, they lost at home, but
was it close?
It was 23-16 was the final score, and it was close. I'm pretty sure.
If I remember, yeah. So
I mean, KC was up. And New England had to come back, but I think they had the ball down one possession. I could be wrong on that, though.
They played
a tremendously easy schedule. Like, there's no doubt about it.
And I cannot get over that they lost the home game to the Dolphins.
That's where I feel like it's hard with DVOA because I know they do the defensive adjustments. Or the opponent adjustments, but it's still hard when you play a super easy schedule to be like, well, is this a team that's just able to crush crappy teams and not able to really beat good teams? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you're applying the opponent adjustment logic the same to every team, whereas there might be some teams that are better suited, I guess, to like beat better teams. And do you know what I'm saying? Like, does that make sense?
No, I get what you're saying. So that's why, like, when I am making bets and when I'm thinking about this stuff, I actually just look more at just straight up yards per play, because I view yards per play as basically the most agnostic metric that exists. I think that it's very hard.
Is the team who leads the league in yards per play in the playoffs?
I mean, I would imagine this is literally one of the first times in history that they're not.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 2019 Dallas Cowboys.
Jason Garrett, dude, he's gone. It's all over.
Hey, so jumping around though, we had mentioned Green Bay screwing up the conference odds for the NFC.
Big time, yeah.
In Arturo Sims, as far as the conference winners, he's got 3+ EV bets in the NFC. Minnesota, New Orleans, and Philly at their respective odds. Philly and Minnesota are both plus 1,800. New Orleans plus 240. And that's because basically Green Bay has, even with Vegas doubting them, there's too much implied probability with them at 22% versus the rest of the conference, basically versus the field. The AFC, still only has Baltimore as an edge there. And even that's a little bit tight. It looks like those odds are juiced up a bit more.
Yeah. I think that the correct bets here are, I actually think it's the Kansas City Chiefs at their odds. I know that Arturo does not have them as a bet, but I feel so confidently the Patriots are not going to win the AFC that both Baltimore and Kansas City are probably a little short, I guess.
All right. So, Davis, you're betting KC Conference.
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
I'm betting.
You know what? I will literally do it right now while we are
Baltimore,
on this show.
New Orleans Super Bowl. I think NFC. Long shot bet, not for Super Bowl, but for conference odds. I think Philly's interesting at plus 1,800. Home game to start against Seattle, who I'm not a huge believer in.
That's fair, yeah.
Then if you think New Orleans is better than San Francisco, they play San Francisco next. I really liked a long shot Super Bowl odd on Philly when the division was still up in the air. I think you get great odds. Then they started to not get healthy. That's the tough part. All their players are hurt.
Just all their players are hurt. And it feels like every game more guys get hurt.
So I'll throw on my docket Philly plus 1,800 for a conference.
Yeah, I don't want to forget, I went ahead and bet Kansas City Chiefs to win the AFC. People listening to this are probably calling me a big fish, but I don't care.
KC Homer. Hey, so if the Bills play KC week two.
Yeah, I'm in. I'll go. We just got to get someone to fill in for me on Sunday night.
We need Tennessee and the Bills to win for that to happen. Otherwise, it'll be Bills in Baltimore. Bills,
man,
fans.
You got it.
The best of any first round underdog is the Bills at 45%. Just FYI.
Well, that's because the Texans aren't very good.
Yeah.
The Texans are such a weird team. Like, that Denver blowout is so bizarre to me, like, looking back.
That's
like, how did that game happen?
In a game that mattered, and they were home for that game, weren't they?
They were home. And that's, I mean, the Ravens blowout too was pretty crazy.
Against Drew Locke. Wasn't that his first start too?
I believe it was his second start.
That's a brutal loss. The Bills are interesting to me in the sense that you've got a really good defense, can keep the game close. Some okay skill players like Devin Singletary is way better than I thought he was going to be. I thought he was going to be horrible because he has like no athleticism, but
running backs matter, bro. Devin Singletary.
Yeah. So apparently vision, agility, all that stuff that seemed like nonsense. I think he led PFF's broken tackle metric his senior year in college.
So literally the most useless metric ever.
Well, let me have something with Devin Singletary.
No, it's like I actively like hate that stuff. Like when people quote that or the missed tackles per carry or whatever, I think that stuff is so dumb.
So why do you think Singletary's good, or you think he's just had a lucky season?
I think he's fine. Like he was a very productive player in college, right? Like yeah. So if guys are productive, I can't take that away from him.
But my Bills excitement stems from the fact defense can keep any game close. I think Josh Allen in Bills fan circles is definitely overrated, but I do think he has enough variance and big playability that you could get lucky. Like if the defense keeps the game close and you hit two or three big plays in a game, I mean, that's basically what they did at New England. And then they got soft and they punted on fourth and one up 17-13, or else, you know, if they convert that fourth down and go for it, they probably win that game. And maybe win the division, which is pretty insane to think about.
Yeah. I would say that of these, like if in between Ryan Tannehill or Josh Allen, I would say he seems like more of a player who could, just be good as an underdog, right? Like I could, if the Ravens.
Tannehill is playing legitimately out of his mind. Whereas people think Allen's playing better than he is because the team's good. Do you know what I mean? So there is a difference there. So I don't – like
yeah,
I get
Tannehill's,
like I get
Tannehill's
– I get excited, but I would take Tannehill over Josh Allen when he – I mean, easily.
Tannehill's right results now. Have been very good. Yeah. I don't know, man. Like how is it that we as people who can look at these huge samples of things be like – Ryan Tannehill was literally one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL, like not one of the worst, but pretty bad for five seasons, and be like, actually, now maybe he's a GOAT. Like, I don't know.
But I don't think you need to think he's a GOAT, but it is hard to completely ignore the run of success he's had. I think he leads the entire NFL in completion percentage over expected. And I don't know, maybe this Titans coaching staff's pretty decent. And you've got AJ Brown, who's just an absolute monster. I don't know. They run play action off DeHember to remember Derrick Henry, Soccer Dave, love it.
I just don't like the Titans can't possibly be this good.
Yet you think they might beat the Patriots. So you're like running in circles.
It's just, right,
I'm
I
just
guess,
saying I'd take Tannehill over Josh Allen. If I
yeah,
wanted.
I would take Tannehill over Josh Allen right now. I think Tannehill's big issue has always been, taking sacks, and you know, as long as if you're not turning the ball over, if you're not throwing interceptions and you're not fumbling, taking sacks is not the worst sin that a quarterback can have, but it's still not great.
Yeah. All right. So I think we hit on, you know, the primary bet. So again, the model, like some of the NFC conference odds, I'm going to take Philly plus 1800. I'm going to take Baltimore plus 250 to win the Super Bowl. I'm going to take New Orleans plus 500 to win the Super Bowl. Davis is on KC to win the conference. After telling me he wouldn't tie up money in Baltimore to win the Super Bowl because the odds weren't long enough, he's going to tie up money.
That's two extra weeks, dude. That's the Super Bowl's two extra weeks.
All right. Fair enough. You said you got some college stuff to spit out here.
Well, I did just want to look at the odds for the college football championship. But I don't know if you have takes on this.
I have zero takes whatsoever on college. I know nothing. My only take is very influenced by Nelson, one of our subscribers, Slack comments, who loves Clemson and just been saying that the massive LSU blowout combined with the close Clemson game will make the line bigger than it should be, in which case you should bet Clemson.
But it's only 6 points, though. I think Nelson thinks it's
– I don't know, Davis. I'm just parroting what he said because I have no idea.
I would say as of right now, six seems good for LSU. Like, they just seem so good. Like, they just – Joe Burrow, I mean, he's going to be a good NFL quarterback next year.
You could probably get a rake-free Slack bet then with Nelson.
I will. I plan on it. But yeah, that's definitely something that I would be interested in. These bowl games, though, I kind of forget how bad bowl games are now, because no, the players who are going to the NFL, they don't care. They just don't play.
I loved Nelson's Twitter timeline during the game because I don't follow college that much, but all I saw was a tweet that said T. Higgins over four catches or whatever is the freest money in the world. And then like 20 and minutes later, T. Higgins is hurt. I know he ended up coming back to the game, but it was...
He came back in the game and did not get the free money bet for Mr. Nelson.
Oh, he didn't. Oh, my goodness.
A tough scene.
But yeah, so we'll be back next week to basically go over our positions, if they've improved, haven't improved, kind of see if there's any other bets we want to add to the docket. And as we get into NBA playoffs, we'll do the same thing for that. We'll do season-long stuff for MLB, like home run leaders, season-long wins, odds, stuff like that. NFL draft prop betting, Davis, will cover. So
it's very hyped for that.
Just be fun show and find some bets to pretend that we're being smart with betting and not just total degenning and donkeying. So let us give you that false appeal.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.